Welcome to BioTalk. My name is Jeff Meyerson, CEO and co-founder of Locust Walk, and you're listening to BioTalk, our podcast for biotech dealmakers. This episode of BioTalk is focused on Locust Walk's 2024 first quarter market conditions report, in which we apply the latest data to analyze current activities in the biopharma deal landscape. Each quarter, Locust Walk's deal team compiles key statistics and trends showcasing what is happening in the global private and public capital markets and strategic partnering and M&A activity. To provide some structure, I will first cover biotech capital markets, touching on both public and private market performance over the past year. I will then transition into strategic transaction activity, covering both M&A and licensing. Please note, the full report published on the Locust Walk website is over 60 slides, so while I will do my best to summarize, as always, I encourage you to check out the full report for additional detail. To download this report, please go to locustwalk.com and go to our Insights page. Q1 of this year continued last quarter's recovery of the XBI and saw a sharp upswing at the end of February on the heels of multiple positive data readouts. The XBI has since normalized, but ended Q1 above the prior 2023 highs. In support of this positive momentum, we saw several strong indicators of a potential recovery for the public biotech markets. Q1 saw an increase in follow-on offering volume and deal size, up $8.1 billion from $3.5 billion in the last quarter of last year, and a meaningful increase in pipe volume and size, up to $2.6 billion from $1.7 billion in the last quarter of 2023. We're seeing a trend of increasing pipe activity that started in the second quarter of last year, reflecting companies' preference to reduce financing risk by securing capital prior to data announcements, despite the cost of providing less favorable terms. For example, if a company wants to raise capital and doesn't want to risk the stock price reaction, they might sign a confidentiality agreement with investors, reveal the data, do the financing, and then when the data is announced, that then means that the confidentiality agreement is no longer needed because the data has now been released to the public. That's basically how that works, for those of you who are keeping score at home. So an example of this is Avidity, which raised a $400 million pipe a week before they announced positive data from their phase 1-2 trial from their lead asset. So for IPOs, volume actually doubled from the fourth quarter of last year, which is arguably a pretty small base, but it still is positive, although there has been limited activity after the first half of the first quarter, and the companies going public largely remain limited to later stage companies. Personally, I believe the IPO window is still relatively shut, and the public market for early stage companies will remain challenging, with the two preclinical IPOs, Metagenomi and Fractyl Health, struggling to perform already. To a lesser degree, the private U.S. biotech market saw some recovery in Q1 with 15 rounds of $100 million or greater, which is the second best quarter in aggregate deal value since 2021, and it nears the 2023 peak that we saw in the third quarter of last year. Overall, activity is still relatively flat when compared to the robust fundraising environment seen in 2021, but we're seeing signs of life. Private biotech investors remain somewhat risk-averse, as signaled by the relative share of value attributable to mid- to late-stage clinical deals, which increased to 43% from 36% in the last quarter of 23. We expect the private venture markets to be slower to recover, with meaningful upswings likely to be limited until rates are meaningfully cut, which unfortunately appears less and less likely by the day for 2024. Interestingly, Series D, or later rounds, saw continued growth in the percentage of new investors versus existing investors, which could point to crossover investors anticipating the IPO market reopening in the near term. A similar level of recovery has yet to be seen in ex-US geographies, with activity in Europe and Asia remaining stagnant this quarter. So in terms of strategic transaction activity, the year was kickstarted by several multi-billion dollar acquisitions by Big Pharma, such as Gilead buying CymaBay and AstraZeneca buying Fusion. Everyone was all excited, but unfortunately, this trend was not sustained throughout the quarter, and Q1 closed with the second lowest aggregate deal value and volume in the past 3 years for the U.S., a sharp correction from the 2023 fourth quarter deal value spike of $60 billion. On a more positive note, M&A deal activity for the EU-based companies was relatively strong this quarter, with four $1 billion plus acquisitions, including AstraZeneca's $1 billion acquisition of Amolyt Pharma, a phase three rare disease company based in France. We expect buyers will start to show an opportunistic increase in risk tolerance for earlier stage acquisitions as the post-phase two proof of concept companies become scarcer outside of oncology, and competition for these companies and assets drives premiums further up. For now, however, it seems that larger pharmas who can afford to wait and see will largely continue to do so. Prioritizing the need for clinical validation at the cost of a higher price tag is demonstrated by public M&A equity premiums, which increased nearly 10% from last quarter. In a similar vein, licensing activity fell compared to the volume seen in Q4, representing the second lowest quarter of aggregate deal value and volume in the past 3 years. Despite the markedly lower activity, one interesting indicator that may bode well for early stage biotech is that in the first quarter, licensing activity saw preclinical and discovery deals amass a much larger share of deal value than in 23, where there was 73% early stage versus 36% in 23. This may suggest interest in early stage opportunities among strategics is recovering as it relates at least to licensing opportunities. So, where does this leave us? What is our best advice for the current market, and where do we see things moving forward? As we said at the end of last year, and I'll reiterate it, we believe that the year is not going to be a linear bottom left to upper right, low to high scenario. And we've already seen the ups and downs even within the year already after only one quarter. That said, 2024 will be a better year than 2023 on most metrics. Both public and private markets will continue their positive momentum as the year goes on, with the caveat, of course, that around further exogenous events like wars and a rapidly changing interest rate outlook have the potential to change things from expectations. As we see European and Asian financing activity continue to falter, the U.S. market will get increasingly competitive to raise capital. Anecdotally, Locust Walk is seeing companies from Europe and Asia who are looking to come to the U.S. because they see opportunity here greater than anywhere else. Signals pointing to the crossover and IPO market reopening are starting to appear, but securing investor dollars will continue to be a challenge given the backlog of private companies. Remaining clear-eyed about the data required to secure private and public capital continues to win the day, and we believe that creative solutions to get value-inflecting data milestones, even where dilutive or less favorable regarding terms, will be required for survival for early-stage companies. We believe there is a bigger dichotomy than ever before between haves versus have-nots, although we are seeing some earlier-stage companies starting to attract additional capital, albeit mostly public companies. Notably, the continued pruning of public biotech companies trading below cash indicates that the market rebound is well underway, with a number of such companies returning to levels not seen since March 2022. To be fair, those levels are still quite elevated compared to baseline pre-pandemic, but they are coming down, which was one of the markers in our view as to what is required for a full market rebound. Continued consolidation through take privates, as seen with Xoma acquiring Kinate, and the Column Group taking NGM Bio private, reverse mergers and shutdowns will be painful, but ultimately signals that the sector is returning to health and is also a necessary requirement for improvement. The increase in early stage licensing deals offers a bright spot that suggests non-dilutive strategic capital is becoming more accessible as large pharma works to balance their bets between large, expensive M&A deals for clinically validated opportunities and smaller, less risky licensing deals for discovery and preclinical technologies. Clinical stage companies without real proof of concept efficacy data will continue to face challenges funding trials, necessitating a forward-thinking approach in early development to be as capital efficient as possible while deal and financing activity recovers. We expect Asian markets to continue to lag the recovery of global markets, with Japan and China facing unique challenges. Japanese equities are actually soaring, with the Nikkei 225 up 43% in the last 12 months, but the yen continues to depreciate, and future rate hikes will likely limit the biotech sector's ability to rebound, just as it has in the U.S. Conversely, in China, equity markets continue to struggle, and as a result, we've seen an increase in companies seeking to access U.S. capital markets, whether through redomicilization or IPOs in the U.S. or newcos in the U.S. or some other means. But we'll definitely see that trend continuing to grow, and it's something to monitor. Overall, we are starting to see positive momentum build across the U.S. public and private markets, and we do expect 2024 to continue to outperform recent years in both financing and transaction activity. We do not expect the recovery to be quick, but initial signs are positive that companies with strong data packages and, just as importantly, good timing with respect to the shift in market sentiment will face an easier road than in 2022 or 2023. So, in conclusion, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of BioTalk. Please share your thoughts and feel free to suggest potential topics and guests for future episodes. We look forward to a productive dialogue and hope you tune in to our next podcast. Please share with all of your friends and colleagues to help us grow the audience. This is Jeff Meyerson for BioTalk, signing off.